I'd like to thank you all for coming to the joint meeting of the LOCSD and LOCAC, and if we'd all rise and put the flag salute. Before we get started tonight, I want to thank our second district supervisor, Shirley Bianchi, for returning here tonight and being with us. Thank you, Shirley. Right now, we're going to start public comment for items that are not on the agenda. So if you want to make a public comment for items not on the agenda, please come forward.
Thank you very much. It's beginning to seem like Los Osos is my home away from home. I thought maybe I would make a short comment on the difference between the Los Osos Community Advisory Council and the Los Osos Community Services District, because there are some distinct differences, and I think sometimes people can get a little kind of confused if you're not acquainted with them. The Los Osos Community Services District is what we call a duly elected or officially elected, or however you want to say it, through the county clerk's office. It is a government entity in its own right. It's subject to the Brown Act, which is the public meeting, open meeting law, or sunshine law, they call it, which indicates that decisions cannot be made outside of open meetings. That's a real no-no. And its objective, it has one objective, one ultimate objective, and that's to be advisory to me only. And it is not directly tax-supported. When I say directly, it's because it's supported through my community project funds, which are derived from tax dollars. So you're kind of tax-supported, but not directly. The Los Osos Community Services District, by state law, cannot do land use planning. That's why we have the advisory councils. The advisory councils review and advise the Board of Supervisors on land use issues. But one stipulation is that when there's an advisory council in a community that has a services district, the advisory council does not become involved in those issues that are directly under the jurisdiction of the services district. And the example I use is Cambria has a community services district and it has an advisory council, it has a sewer system, but it doesn't have enough water. So it's been really hard over the years to keep the community services district up, keep the advisory council in Cambria, North Coast Advisory Council, from discussing water issues. Because, of course, everybody wants to talk about what they're, really excited about. It's the same thing down here. It's been kind of interesting. With sewers, you don't quite have the problem with water. So anyway, that's basically the differences between the CSD and the advisory council. But on another issue, and I'll make this really short, this afternoon I had a really interesting phone call from David Sneed. And David Sneed wanted to know if I knew that the CSD had voted at 2:15 a.m. on Wednesday morning to divest themselves from the wastewater problem. And so I said, no, I didn't know that. And so I called LAFCO office. And the conclusion that we came to is that if that were ever attempted, it would probably take at least a year and a half. because the whole process has never been done. So you'd have to start from square one. But I just thought I would, maybe somebody would like to have a discussion with David Snead. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Bianchi. And was that your immediate, was that your initial reaction? No, please, you don't have to go there.
You do not want to know my initial reaction.
No. Thank you very much. Okay, next.
Are we still having public comment?
This is now public comment, yes, for items not on the agenda.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is George Taylor, Los Osos, longtime resident and taxpayer. I want to just congratulate the community of Los Osos because today we have become a richer community because the governor has agreed to a lotly, you want to say survive, and they set up at Baywood Market and asked us and to write letters, and we did. We all, the minute that they set up, we flocked in numbers that you can't believe to to write letters, not sign them, but we actually wrote letters pleading for the Conservation Corps to be left here because it is such a valuable asset that has done so much for this community. And I can't say enough about the Corps, but they did it themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Next.
My name is Darlene Reynolds, and I'm new to your community. Actually, I've gone full circle. I started out here in 1973 and then kind of moved around the county, but I'm back now that I'm retired. And, boy, Los Osos Baywood is an exciting place to be. I just wanted to suggest, since applause seems to be something, I was at Tuesday night's meeting, too, and that seems to be kind of creating some problems in the meetings. So I'd like to suggest something that I learned as part of my career working with the disabled, is if people are supporting something, they can just go like this. This is a sign of the death of applause. Doesn't make any noise. People can go on ahead. So I'd just like to propose that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Al Barrow, and I'm from Los Osos. And tonight, I wanted to make it clear to the general public and to everyone in the room that there are alternatives for CSD wastewater that are affordable, and that were presented to the district in 2000 in September after the pond system failed. And those are being redesigned after 3.5 years of sitting on the shelf, a preliminary design which is at no cost to the district, and I would request that the district would welcome any information that could possibly save money and save the environment. If you turn that down, you're a bunch of, I would never vote for you, put it that way, and I hope you get a recall. I really hope you get recalled, and I'll tell you why. It's because Frank Freiler was one of the more conservative members here, and he resigned because of your intransigence, because you're always in a rush. You're always hurrying all the decisions. You don't weigh them carefully, and I'm sure that's why he resigned. And I was very sorry to hear that. The proposed lagoon system that could be put on Andre's site would probably have a footprint of about 20 acres. That would leave about 20 acres for play fields, parks, and recreation that we sorely need in the community. It would also treat the water to a recharge level. It would solve all the problems with Cal City's lawsuits and recharge the aquifer and solve dump opportunity. You could have a year to redesign, relocate, and come up with a great solution without fines. Thank you.
Mr. Buell, please outline the procedure in terms of somebody that has alternatives What's the procedure in terms of the wastewater committee and having it staff that way?
Thank you, Mr. President. What the district has consistently requested is that the submittals provide enough information for the board to adequately review them. Every time we've gotten a concept, and that's what we've gotten thus far, we have reviewed them and commented in public session.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Mr. Perkins?
John Perkins, Los Osos, and I'm kind of mad at Mr. Taylor back there. He stole my thunder. I was on the telephone with the California Conservation Corps this morning when they found out about it, and I'm most happy. I'm here tonight to represent Audubon, and I want to talk about Sweet Springs, not the bar, the nature preserve. The Seas are going to be down there tomorrow and work 8 hours pulling belt grass and things like that for us, and it's not free. We have to pay for it. Sweet Springs is privately owned. It's owned by the Morro Coast Audubon Society, and we don't get any taxpayer dollars to support it. I did get a grant recently from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to plant some very rare and endangered plants in the marsh, and it's a matching grant. I have to match dollar for dollar what they gave us, and our volunteer labor counts as matching dollars. On the 8th day of May, Saturday, the day of the election, by the way, we will have a second Saturday at Sweet Springs where volunteers from the chapter and volunteers from the community come down and help us do light maintenance, pull weeds, rake the path, things like that. And I'm inviting everybody in the hall, everybody up at the front table, and everybody at home to come down and sign up and give us 3 hours of real light labor, and maybe I can get some money to pay back that $18,000 I got from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. Mr. Perkins, where would they meet and what time? At Sweet Springs itself and what time?
I'm sorry, the most important thing. 9 a.m. to 12 noon, meet at the main entrance to Sweet Springs right across the street from the Mobile Home Park, 600 block of Ramona. 8 May, that's the second Saturday in May.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. Mr. Payne?
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of LOCAC, and public at home, and people here. I just had a little thing I hoped would be visible on the TV. This is a sheet enlarged out of the paper I got off the table from the CDF's proposal. And I just wanted the public to know that the cost to the LOCSD here is $251,000. Pardon me. And that's whether that where there was two proposals. One of them was with two men in the, I forget what you call it, financial committee meeting. They said it was 36% to handle the fire department budget. That's over a third. It's very interesting, isn't it? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I wanted to address what I see has been a severe problem in Los Osos for the 3 years that I've been involved in the sewer project. I think we've come to a lose-lose situation. All I see is stubbornness from the board to have a conversation with members of the community that are qualified to discuss the subject. And I feel like the town, I mean, we know the town is divided, and I think it's a pity, because I think both sides have people of wonderful qualities, and I don't think that any of us have a different goal in mind except how we get there seems to be the discussion that we can't seem to have. So I put it forth to the whole community that we need a mediator. When you see family disputes and things that can't be resolved, the only thing that really helps in the end is to have someone come in and help both sides come to a center field where they then you turn it into a win-win situation. And rather than, I mean, I've already gotten the message from the CSD board that they will continue trying to defend Tri-W. And I think that it's time for a mediator to come in from an outside source, nobody that's ever been involved with both sides, and actually look at what we are discussing and try to help us through this process so that we can come to a point where we actually get our sewer built and get on with things that this town wants to do. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Lisa Schicker. I'd first like to say, to echo the concerns about the California Conservation Corps. That's the coolest news I've heard. Maybe some of you don't know, but I was one of the original preparers of the Sweet Springs Management Plan many years ago when I worked for the Land Conservancy. So I'm also very proud of the work that John Perkins does out there at Sweet Springs Marsh. And I'm really excited about California Conservation Corps. I've worked with them quite a bit on the coast. So I wanted once again to try to introduce our group to some of the LOCAC members. The CSD knows us, but I did make an attempt a couple months ago to try to introduce our group to the LOCAC, and I want to try again. We're a group of scientists and engineers, and we're very interested in the planning of Los Osos. We've become more interested because of the wastewater project, but we'd also like to avail ourselves to LOCAC to assist in any way. We do have a lot of brain power, and we're good at studying these things. We're land use planners, scientists, engineers, and we'd like to be involved, and we'd like to help any way we can. So if we could keep involved, that would be great. And then finally, I'd like to echo Lindy Owens' concerns about possibly a facilitator or a mediator for all of us. I think it might be a good way to try to, again, heal the wounds of the contentious fighting. And again, I'm willing to help any way I can. Thank you very much. And I will.
Resident from Cuesta by the Sea. And I had allergies the other night and had to leave, so I missed everything. On Tuesday night. You know, I lived with my grandmother and grandfather for about 4 years when I was a young kid. And my grandmother was a seamstress. She made beautiful clothing, wedding gowns, and all my grandfather's suits. He was a doctor. And she was beautiful. Every morning, she or my grandfather took me into a room where there was a full-length mirror. And they taught me to look at myself to see if my hair was okay, if my seam was straight, and all that. And what I learned is that you don't have to be a seamstress to recognize a crooked hem. I do not know the answers that we face. I do not know the specifics. And I'm trusting you to continue to search, and I believe in you, but honey, our ham is crooked, so let's just keep trying to straighten it out, okay? I'm referring to the sewer, of course. Thank you.
Next.
Good evening. My name is Monica Hunter. I'm a 12-year resident of Los Osos, and I'm a member of the Los Osos Technical Task Force. I just want to introduce myself to you. And I also want to tell you that I have worked as part of 700 different people who have worked to preserve the estuary and the bay. I know that Los Osos as a community is aware of the impact of the groundwater and the nitrate problem related to our septics, and that particular problem is identified by the Morro Bay National Estuary as one that needs to be resolved, and we support the effort and science that's gone into determining what the problem is and the best way to resolve it. And I want to confirm that as a community member of Los Osos, I think we need to be very careful in considering the steps that we take and as we move forward with the wastewater treatment project to assure that we don't inadvertently cause additional problems to the bay. And I don't need to go into detail now, but there is an issue of discharge of the upper aquifer water into the bay, which concerns me greatly and which I'm looking and seeking more information and trying to understand how we can avoid discharging groundwater. We should be conserving it and eliminate the possible option of discharging nitrate contaminated water directly into the Morro Bay estuary. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
My name is Betty Clark. I live in Los Osos. I was born and raised in the wonderful state of Iowa. And people in Iowa look at California and you say, oh, this is movie land. Well, I tell you what, folks, I feel like I'm caught in a movie. I was trying to figure out which one it was. It seems to be a cross between the following movies. High Noon, where the good people, we're here, we're launched, we're doing what we need to do. The Blob. Well, we all know what the Blob is, and it's heading toward the bay, folks. And the last one is Legally Blonde. And I'll let you figure out for yourself who might fit that particular movie. But I really wish that people would be respectful. I've sat and listened to people being maligned and called all sorts of names as they're trying to do the job that Mrs. Bianchi pointed out they were elected to do and with the experts that they were hired to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Julie Tacker, and I live in Los Osos. I believe all the people in Los Osos are good people. I take offense to the previous speaker's analogy of her movie land. And I believe the board president has a duty to interrupt that kind of attack. I know you would have had those same words.
Put the hands up if you want to applaud. Just put the hands up.
Had those same words come out of a opponent of your wastewater project, you would have stopped them and said, don't make it personal. I'm offended tonight. I should never have had to address that.
Any further public comment?
I'd be interested in an apology.
Well, you still have a minute and 52 seconds to comment. And we'll see if there's a response from the board.
I would like a response from the board, specifically the board president.
Are you done?
I'm done.
The last, was it 3.5, 4 years, there have been specific attacks at specific individuals named that I consider to be slanderous. Now, there's a question legally, and you know I'm an attorney, even though I'm not practicing right now, relative to actual malice, et cetera. And we won't have to get into that. But when you talk personal attacks, the personal attacks at individuals, yes, they do get gaveled down. Attacks that are made in general, and there was even an attack earlier tonight, on a broad base, and criticizing the board, criticizing groups. And in terms of personalities, anytime an individual is attacked, yes, we do try to keep those under control. And as you well know, over the last 3.5 to 4 years, many times it is not able to control, and we try to control it the best we can. Thank you.
Yeah, by removing people and cutting their time to 1 minute.
Mrs. Tacker, the reason why I asked if you were done is so that we could respond. We don't get into colloquy here because these are for items not on the agenda. And the Brown Act requires that you do not get into a discussion. It is not an agendized item.
Correct.
That's why we have taken a position that if you're finished, I can respond for information, and that's the extent of it. It is not meant to be a discussion. Thank you.
Right. I still didn't hear an apology, and I wish I had.
Good evening, James T. Catch, longtime resident of Los Osos. I would like to respond to the two speakers ago. I was one of the people that was sitting home watching the meetings. I did not take the time to get involved earlier. I heard some things about the wastewater treatment plant that I wasn't sure about, so I started reading the technical documents, and the more I read, the more I got concerned. the decision by the Coastal Commission to have the project looked at again, I think it's a good one. I think it allows us an opportunity to reevaluate some of the decisions that have been made in the past. I agree that the citizens should get involved. I ask them to read the technical documents, look at the websites for the CSD and the opposition to make up their own mind. But I was one of those people that was at home and decided to get involved, and I'm going to stay involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tikash. Next.
Good evening again, Stan. Tom Salmon, Baywood Park. I just love this country. I love that you and I and the rest of the community get up here and discuss items that are important to everyone. Whether I disagree with you or don't like the things that you and this board do, that's my right. I don't get up here and call you names. I state the facts and I discuss the issue. Last meeting, we discussed about the nearly $20 million that we no longer have on a project that was flawed from the beginning, and we knew about it. I don't have my wife, my girlfriend, my friends, or anyone else get up here and speak for me. I speak to you one-on-one. But I'm not going to be quiet when it's something that I'm well-versed in. I'm not going to be quiet when I know the history of the country and know this is what we're supposed to do. I'm not going to be quiet because when my country called, I came. I'm not going to be quiet because the rest of my family, when they were called, they came. So what you're doing tonight in reprimanding the community is wrong. For 230 years, this country has had disagreements. And I will remind everyone again, there has been shootings and beatings on the floor of the Senate. Just 2 months ago, the Capitol Police were called to the House of Representatives because there was a problem. But I will scream from the mountaintops to remind you that this plant is in the wrong spot. You knew it. This board knew it. Mr. Freiler, who's no longer here, obviously knew it. But yet you want to spank me, and I will not stand for that. You were wrong. You wasted $20 million on something, and you won't stand up and say it. And for that, I'm angry. Good night.
Next.
My name is Steve Sawyer. I'm a resident and business owner in Los Osos, and I'm also the chairman of the No on Fire Tax Committee. I'm here to talk to you tonight about some dirty politics that are going on in Los Osos. On Wednesday evening, April 14th, members of the Los Osos group No on Fire Tax distributed political signs around town directing voters to their website. These signs were all purchased by a current South Bay firefighter who feels this tax is unnecessary. They were placed, like most political signs, along roads and in high traffic areas. Most of the signs were placed in close proximity to others, advertising such things as the Garden Festival, soccer, football, and cheerleading signups, the upcoming LOCAC election, and the Yes on G committee. By Thursday afternoon, the next day, most of the signs turned up missing. After a call to the Sheriff's Department, I learned what happened. On Thursday morning, Laura Brown, secretary and official fire tax spokesperson for the LOCSD and South Bay Fire Department, and member of Yes on G, while on duty at the fire department and while using public resources, telephoned the County Roads Department and requested the signs be removed. She followed that with a phone call to the Sheriff's Department, letting them know what she had done in case a complaint was made. Shortly thereafter, the Roads Department sent out a worker to remove all No on Fire Tax signs in Los Osos in the public right of way. The problem is that the county worker only removed No on Fire Tax signs. After driving the route Thursday afternoon, I determined that all of the Yes on G, Garden Festival, football, soccer, cheerleading, and LOCAC signs remained undisturbed, with the exception of one LOCAC election sandwich board, which was taken only so they could claim they didn't just take No on Fire Tax signs. This discovery was later confirmed when I recovered the missing signs, including your LOCAC sign, from the county garage. This action by Laura Brown and the Yes on G committee is just another example of how they've run their campaign. They have no regard for hearing both sides of the story. They have done everything they can to control the information that is released to the public while at the same time insisting that they've shared all the facts. To say nothing of the fact that they usurped the county code enforcement office's authority and jurisdiction by calling an obvious friend at the roads department. All we're trying to do is get information out to the voting public. We've done nothing to hinder Yes on G's efforts to distribute signs and flyers or to raise campaign money. All we want in return is a fair opportunity to inform the voters of Los Osos about this very important issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
I have a question.
Oh.
Steve, who removed the signs?
County roads.
So it wasn't Mrs. Brown?
I think you heard what I said.
I just want to make sure that I understand.
County roads removed the signs as a result of a complaint by Laura Brown.
Supervisor Bianchi is right there. I just want to make sure that we understand that the signs were not removed by Mrs. Brown. They were removed by County Roads.
Like I said, they were removed by County Roads as a result of a complaint by Laura Brown.
Okay. And she made a report to the Sheriff's Department.
She informed the Sheriff's Department what she had done so that a complaint could not be made.
So there is something for us to investigate then.
There is. There's also a county code enforcement officer whose office handles this, and when I spoke to him, he was rather upset that his office was bypassed.
Thank you.
Next. Any additional public comment?
Jerry Walsh. Of a similar nature, last time we had Unite and Write, Tom Salmon had the Granite Construction Company sign set up at a parking space in the street in front of Carlox. It simply said, Unite and Write for Sewer Funds at the Schoolhouse in flashing lights, to guide people to the schoolhouse to write for funds. This was an event that we invited all of you to participate in from the CSD. We invited the whole community. We had a wonderful turnout. It wasn't political. We did not discuss pro or con on the sewer. We simply wrote for funds for our sewer. Someone from the CSD called the county to come out on Saturday, when they normally don't work, to have the sign shut off. Locked and shut off, saying that it was political, when you know darn well it wasn't political. None of you participated. Gordon came only to debate us. If this is your example of how to run a community, I'm really distressed. These are two instances where you subverted the efforts of this community. And I say subverted in very strong terms. We're going to have another Unite and Write. Again, we're asking you to help the people of Los Osos. Nothing political. Simply to have funds for our community. I know you're not listening to me. You're just sitting there looking away. That's fine. We're going to try and help the community. You can help us if you'd like. But please, this time, don't try to subvert our efforts. Thank you.
Vice Jerry, President Hensley.
Jerry, I have a question. One, I didn't come to debate.
But that's all you did.
But I just would like to make clear, is it okay if I come to this one?
What purpose are you going to come? If you come and participate, yes. If you come and try and debate us and talk us out of things, no, don't bother, Gordon. Come with a good heart.
Mr. Buell, do you know anybody at the CSD that subverted the attempt to write letters?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay.
What do you
Next.
Think taking the sign down was, subverting
do you, us? Do you want the phone number and the time of the phone call, Stan?
Well, do you know who did it?
Yes, I have, and I have who he stated he was. And that's the sad part, Stan. I never brought it up.
Who?
You did.
No,
no,
who?
No, Stan. It's not about this.
Tom.
No,
Tom,
no, Stan. It's not
Tom,
about this.
Just answer the question if you've got
it. I'm not going to answer the question. You know why, Stan? Because I'm a better man than that.
Next, please.
My name is June Wright, a resident of Los Osos. You know, for a long time, I've been trying to describe these meetings to friends and family. And I tell them every meeting I get this strange feeling of deja vu. But it never occurred to me to use the movie Groundhog Day as the perfect example. We could just play recordings and play it at double speed and would get through public comment much faster. Thank you.
Next.
Mr. President, you're not doing your job. It says right here, no person will be permitted to make slanderous, profane, impertinent, or personal remarks. The president will declare a speaker out of order if the rules are violated. You need to do your job.
Thank you, Tina. Any additional public comment?
Alberto Estrada, Los Osos. Mr. President, you are not doing your job. You are not representing the people, and you should be removed from that board.
Do we have an additional public comment? Please, if you're... It's fine to use the hands. That's great. But please don't talk and interrupt the meetings. Thank you.
Karen Vega, Administrative Secretary for the District. Laura Brown isn't here tonight. She's not here to defend herself. She shouldn't have to defend herself. I believe that the board has a responsibility to their employees not to allow them to be slandered by the public in a public meeting. And speakers who feel that they can do that because we are public employees need to understand that although the board is elected and are fair game, Mr. Buell, even as the manager, is fair game. Those of us who are rank and file employees of the district are not fair game. There are laws that protect us, both as employees of the district and as citizens. And I, for one, am not going to allow that to happen. What I can say about the signs that were in question, the reason the No on G signs came down is they were in the county right-of-way. The Yes and G signs have been obtained by permission of property owners on their private property. If No on G wants to put the signs out, they need to do the same. That's the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Vega. Additional public comment?
My name's Rachel Rosenthal, Los Osos. I wanted to bring up a comment about the community garden, and I've gone to, sorry, it's so blasé, a topic.
It's refreshing. It's refreshing, Rachel, please.
I've gone to several solid waste committees and left messages. I heard there was a person, Tina Peterson, and it turns out she's been here and is head of the environmental committee. And I've left many, many messages because she was apparently the head of the garden. Oh, well, the compost is, I clean the compost cage every week. Everyone wants to use it. And I've gone to three meetings to request that a proper compost system be set up. There should be a bin of green, a bin of brown, and then the center section. And someone's just dumped clumps of dirt and hay in these three containers, and then there's the starter one that's food. And I go in and take green and mix it all up because it's just all this rotted food exposed to the air. And people, it would be nice to have a place because, like, renters don't have a place to keep compost, and I also use it. I chop up my organic stuff and coffee grounds, and then I bring it over, but then I do the layering as best I can, and I've repeatedly asked the solid waste and left messages. So perhaps we could take that responsibility and find somebody like who's a landscape person who might want to start to organize three bins. Well, a lot of people know how to compost, And somehow, maybe LOCAC could take back that responsibility and organize it, and I'd be happy to help.
Thank you, Rachel. Tina, please. Do you have a comment on that?
I am the community garden manager. I do not have any control as to who puts what in the bins. I'd love to have them separated, but every time I go there, there's always something new put in all three of the bins, and I have no control. I'd really appreciate it if somebody would help us, but because we have no funding, the bins are free. We just nailed them together. And we appreciate everybody wanting to help. My phone number is 528-7525. Please call me if you'd love to help. And if you want a garden plot, too, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Any additional public comment? Mr. Buell.
And anybody that is interested in the community garden, please call Tina at the number she just announced. The solid waste people are not involved in the community garden. The community garden is a volunteer program.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Announcements. Mr. Buell.
Yesterday at 5 o'clock, I received a letter of resignation from Director Frank Freiler. I regret that Director Freiler felt compelled to resign. We will make copies of his letter available at the board meeting, and the board will be talking about Director Freiler's resignation on May 6th. The primary reason he resigned is the vicious comments from members of the audience. It had nothing to do with the direction the board was taking.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Any other announcements? Mr. Buell, do you have any other announcements at this time?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Item number two, are there any announcements from LOCAC? Do you? Alan, do you have any announcements?
Is my microphone on? Alan Menker, Chairman of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. Is it on now? Yeah. Better. Okay. I'm Alan Minker, Chairman of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. I see that all of our members are here tonight. On the written agenda, the regular agenda, item number two is LOCAC matters, and we have matters under there. But something has been on my mind, and I am unilaterally going to, and probably unlawfully, going to place an additional agenda item on here. I can tell you that I have been meeting clandestinely with Gary Freiberg and four other renegade members of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, and we definitely have an announcement to make, and, well, I'm going to ask Gary to make it. Okay.
Let's see, where to start? This community has been so benefited so much. Every organization has... Anybody here from out of town?
No.
All right. What?
I've always wanted to do that. But every organization, every volunteer organization have people that work really hard, and we've seen instances of that just here with the community garden and what John Perkins is doing with Sweet Springs. And all of this work goes unsung. People quietly go about this volunteer work, and they do it because they care about it, and it's something that perhaps comes from the heart. And LOCAC and our community has been so fortunate, and I'll tell you honestly, I've butted heads with a couple of them, but I have absolutely the most deepest respect, and I think that our community has a very, perhaps, obligation of thank you to the four people who are leaving LOCAC. Three of them, Bob Simonson and Gary Carner and Ray Bracken, have been on LOCAC for 12 years, ever since the inception. They have come to meetings. Bob Simonson just recently, because we were looking at the neighborhood in the Track 40 area. He went to every one of the houses, knocked on every one of the doors, did it on his own, never told anybody that this is what he was going to do, to get a consensus, to get an input of what do you think? What should our decision be here? Gary Karner has such a deep understanding of the rules and the regulations and the planning and such a deep understanding of things that his contribution to LOCAC, along with Bob Simonson, along with Ray Bracken, and with Don Wright. Don Wright has been on for 8 years, and Don has attended so many meetings, and she quietly goes to the meetings, doesn't say anything, and then comes and reports. And I only hope that in the election for LOCAC, for the folks that replace these four, can somehow fill the shoes, because our community has a great indebtedness to these four volunteers that have given so much to our community for so long. And even though they're really quite saddened by this, and we made the decision that do we buy them boxes of Kleenex? Or, as Bob Simonson said, he's really in the mood for champagne. And so, as a gesture, as a small gesture from LOCAC, we want to thank Gary Karner and Bob Simonson and Ray Bracken and Don Wright for the wonderful community contribution that they have made to us. And because we thought that we might get in trouble, if we popped it in here, there actually is a bottle of champagne for to be divided. So please accept this just as a symbol of our gratitude. And thank you so much for all of your work and your contributions to LOCAC and to Los Osos. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. And Don and Ray and Bob and Gary, there actually is a bottle of champagne awaiting, once this meeting is over, the four of you in the parking lot.
Do we have to wait till 2 a.m.?
Whenever it is. Okay, next item on the agenda is Estero Area Plan Update. This is the Estero Area Plan draft update as of August 2003. LOCAC has reviewed this at numerous workshops. We have presented it in public hearings like this, and we have sent it along with approval of the most of it and some suggestions for changes to the least of it, and that now goes to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission has been meeting regularly and has had much to say and much to do about the Estero Area Plan. Sometimes they do things one session and they take them back at a later session. They've had quite a discussion regarding our Greenbelt designation, whether it should be by verbal description or by map, whether it should be called something different. And the upshot, as I understand their discussions at this point, is it'll be called something different, but what we have looked at in here as Greenbelt will continue to show as maps so that people can see where it is. I am informed that the Planning Commission has scheduled a special meeting. Now, what the Planning Commission does is they meet every 2 weeks, and on their agendas, where they have a number of other items they're passing on, they will have 2 hours, 3 hours to go through this Estero Area Plan update, and they get only so far each time. And so it's a process that sometimes gets stalled by other items on their agenda. So what they're doing now is scheduling a special session for Wednesday, June 2nd, from 2:30 in the afternoon to 9:30 at night. That'll be at the Board of Supervisors meeting hall down in San Luis Obispo. They will be continuing with where they left off here last time, which to my knowledge is somewhere in Chapter 7. But I am informed by county planning that anyone who wishes to attend, and everyone is encouraged to go, anyone who wishes to make a comment who hadn't been able to make a comment because of you just can't take off from work and sit down there and during a morning session and hope that they get to the item, but maybe they won't. If you wanted to make a comment anywhere in this Estero area plan, they will hear you. That's the information that I have. So once again, that's Wednesday, June 2nd, 2:30 in the afternoon to 9:30 at night. Also regarding the Estero area plan update, at the last meeting of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council 1 week ago tonight, we voted unanimously to adopt standards for small-scale neighborhoods and the Baywood Commercial Special Community. And that's something we've, it was just, Gary just mentioned, Bob Simonson headed up a special committee. All the neighbors, all the residents, all the business owners, and all interested parties were polled so that we could find out what people wanted to do regarding those designations. We were told they wanted to keep them rather than get rid of them, but they wanted them spelled out, and those standards have now been passed on by us to the County Planning Department for entry into the Estero Plan update. Okay, that's the item A, Estero Area Plan update. What we want to get to now is the election of new LOCAC members. We have election for LOCAC the following two Saturdays, this coming Saturday and the following Saturday, and they will be from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock at the fire department. You cannot vote absentee, and you cannot vote write-in. There will be LOCAC members at the fire department if anyone is in need of information as to which of the four voting areas they live in. Of course, we have maps here tonight. You can see us later tonight. But anyone who goes to the fire department and is unclear, you'll be shown a map. And you vote for the candidate or candidates who live in your voting area. And what we want to do tonight is give the candidates an opportunity for a short time to speak to the public. And what we're going to do is to turn the podium around so that the candidates speak to the audience. We're going to give everybody 3 minutes. I'm going to turn it over to Dick Parker, who's been our election committee chairperson. Stan, do you have a timer there?
Yes, we have a timer. We can.
Okay.
We can,
what I'm going to do
track
is.
Track of that.
Does that go off after what?
3 minutes. We can set it for 3 minutes if you like.
Can you set it for 2.5 minutes?
Yes. Certainly.
Okay. Or no, well. Two and a half minutes. Here's what I'll do. I'll stand in the back.
Well, we could pass a timer to you and let you keep it.
Well, I'm going to hold up. This is for the candidates. Green means you can keep talking. Yellow means you've got 30 seconds left. Red means you're out of time. So, Dick, will you explain who our candidates are and give the candidates their chance in order? Oh, yeah. No, you go up there, too.
I am Dick Parker. I'm in charge of the election. And we're going to have 15 candidates talking tonight. So we'll have only 3 minutes apiece. I wish you'd hold your applause until the end so we don't get interrupted. There will be speeches given in order by district, numerically by district, and alphabetically by last name within the district. And when I announce the first person, I'll also announce the second person so you can walk around the room and get in line. You ready, Alan? The first is District 1, and the first name is Jan DeLeo of 1390 15th Street, followed by Craig Baltimore.
This feels weird. It feels like I'm facing the wrong way. My name is Jan DeLeo. I'm running for 1st District. The reason I put my name in is LOCAC does land use review. I've been a land use planner for over 20 years. I've worked for such jurisdictions as Santa Barbara County and the city of Boulder, Colorado, doing review of commercial, residential, and industrial development. I also wrote the open space element for the city of San Luis Obispo and the Parks and Rec Master Plan for the Cambria Community Services District. I currently work as a parks planner for San Luis Obispo County. So I'm very aware of land use regulations, and I think I could be very helpful in giving some technical knowledge as well as making sure that the community gets the type of development they would like to see occur. I think the most pressing issues right now that really LOCAC will be involved in is making sure that the Estero Plan gets adopted at the board and the Coastal Commission level in providing that input. And I think that's about it. I guess I'm not taking questions, huh? Thank you.
Thank you. Craig V. Baltimore, 1188 17th Street, followed by Al Barrow.
Good evening. My name is Craig Baltimore. I am a resident here in Los Osos for the last 3 years. I'm a professor at Cal Poly in architectural engineering, a husband and a father. And when my family here moved here 3 years ago, we were looking for a place to live, and we investigated the area a lot. Oro Grande, San Luis Obispo, and Los Osos by far gave us the biggest sense of comfort for our family in the community. And that's how we chose to come here. My wife and I both believe in getting involved with our community. My wife volunteers over at one of the elementary schools on one of the boards over there. In my last city that we lived in, Manhattan, Kansas, Kansas State University, town of about 40,000 people when the students were there. I was a voting member on the Community Development Committee. And so over here, I'd like to get involved with the Advisory Council, structural engineer all my life, worked with architects, contractors, planning people. When projects were started, my experience as a structural engineer is not, hey, here's the plans, engineer it, make it stand up. I've always been proactive when it came to projects. And so I have a good sense of how projects impact areas and what you have to deal with. And so as advisory council member, I'd like to work with maintaining the sense of family and the sense of community. One of the things, personally, that I'd like to work for is more community spaces, whether that's in natural areas or in parks. But I'd like to work and promote that as land use, especially when we get to the to growth and be proactive. Let's think about what will happen after the sewers are put in and how the community will grow. Don't wait until the sewers are put in. So I'm proactive for family and community, and would like to offer my services to Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Al Barrow of 700 El Moro. He'll be followed by Gary Freiberg.
Hello, my name is Al Barrow. Good evening. You may see one of these door hangers on your asking for your vote. I am an advocate of sustainable, careful growth that protects our coastal resources, the character of our town, and the quiet, relaxed lifestyle we have now in Los Osos. Coastal access is important to me. I will fight losing any more coastal access, such as the First Street boat ramp. I would fight projects like the one that's at South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Valley Road, a three-story building on a hillside entering town, and I can't give the people who approve that any kudos. I will oppose development that conflicts with these values. In the past, some of the developments are out of character with our community values, have been allowed, and I do not support that. I believe Los Osos should not end up like Carmel or Newport Beach. We need some workforce affordable housing. We need some zoning for that. We need to keep our diversity, all income levels, all kinds of people. Our kids need housing too when they grow up. That's what planning is about. I've attended many LOCAC meetings and am familiar with the local coastal plan, although I'm not an expert like Bob Simonson and Gary Carner, but I'm a willing learner, and I also am familiar with the coastal policies, the coastal zone land use ordinance law. I have prevailed on a coastal appeal, and I am now familiar with the process. I admit I have a lot to learn, and I'm willing to do that work. Many of my friends are professional planners, and they advise me. I listen. I have attended the Slo County Housing Task Force as president of the Coalition for Affordable Housing and have worked with Housing Trust Fund and Low Income Housing Consortium. I'm a voice for affordable housing. I have a BA from the University of Oregon and some post-bac in art education and a year of medical ultrasound from Orange Coast College. I will be a partner with other community advisory councils in the county to achieve our goals. And I encourage the county planning and engineering to obey the rules that we have to protect everyone's interest. I recognize that underdeveloped private property rights must be balanced with the rights of the existing homeowners and businesses. We have 4 acres of park. We need more. We will fight for parks and playfields, and we will serve the needs of all of us. Runoff and pollution, siltation, those things need to be protected from the bay. Anyway, thank you, and I'd like to have your vote.
Thank you. Gary J. Freiberg, 1107 11th Street, followed by Julie Tacker.
Hi. Just very quickly, if I can also have a wave of the fingers, I neglected to mention Ray, and I feel horrible, but Ray has been involved with LOCAC before it was LOCAC, and so many other districts. Ray has just done such a tremendous job, and he's been our treasurer, and I apologize to Ray that I forgot to mention. So, and yes, we can count that toward my 3 minutes. Well, 2 years ago, I was a member of the freshman class. I was part of the first four that were elected to LOCAC. And I'm very pleased and I'm very gratified that in my first two-year term, I went from being a rookie to being voted the vice chairman, unanimously approved by my peer group on the council when the existing vice chairman retired. And I'm very proud that I was the one that was selected to be the vice chairman. And what I've learned in my first 2 years is that there are details to good planning. And in this first 2 years, we've had the boat launch ramp, and we've had the Bayview platform, and we've had the Estero area update plan, and we've had other issues. And I see each one of the issues as pieces of a puzzle. And all of those individual pieces of a puzzle go together to form what the total picture is for Los Osos. And I think that it's very, very important that when we take a look at all of these issues, that how they are handled, the details, and how those issues are handled is very important to the contribution of what the total picture looks like. And I would like to believe that the way that I have voted represents my district. District 1 is South Bay Boulevard down to Pasadena, Paso Robles Avenue over to the Bay. And I would like to think that the way that I vote represents our community views and has represented the views of District 1. As we know, LOCAC is an 11-member board. 2 people are not up for re-election. 1 was recently appointed. We have 8 positions. As we discussed earlier, 4 of those positions, 3 of the folks have been there for 12 years. The 4th position has been there for 8 years. I would like to think that I've graduated from my freshman class. I would like to think that the 2 years' experience that I has prepared me to the transition as LOCAC becomes a new council. Whatever the issues are, whatever the energy is that comes, we know that there is going to be a minimum of 5 new people. And I would say to people in District 1 that I will continue to work to represent and always be open, as we are. I think LOCAC is a wonderful forum for community input. I would say to the community that my interests go beyond District 1, that I've been involved with matters outside of the district. But when I vote for matters in the entire community. I have the red. I will ask the people in District 1 for their vote, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Next is Juliana Tacker of 1188 4th Street, followed by Carol Maurer.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and forgive my backside. You guys usually get to see it. Now they do. It's seemingly a natural progression for me to become a candidate for LOCAC. For the past 2 years, I've been deeply involved in the Move the Sewer movement. And along with it, I have become involved in local land use issues. It's catapulted me into an education that affects, this education inspires me, and the issues that I've become involved in, I believe, affect our community. I am the president of Concerned Citizens of Los Osos, a nonprofit group that has just recently formed over these last 2 years to be there for the better good of Los Osos. I believe in public participation and the public process. I moved to Los Osos in 1971 as a child. I'd like to say I'd been here all my life, but I'm a little older than that. I'm the daughter of a contractor and the daughter of an elementary school teacher. My husband Tom and I have been property owners for 18 years here in Baywood Park. We lived across town and just recently moved back to Baywood Park, so I would be very grateful for your vote to represent Baywood Park again. And I have a background in recreation. Currently, I am the activities director at the Tacker House, and I am the executor of 2 family estates. I have a strong sense of community. I recently coordinated the Milbourne Family Fundraiser, and I have been involved in several others. I'm involved in my PTA. I've been on the board for the last 5 years. I'm an artist and a parent at Baywood Elementary School and now Los Osos Middle School, serving both on both schools' school site councils. If elected to serve as a member of LOCAC, I will strive to see the best land use decisions made for our community, and I will encourage community input. If I can help you in any way, I encourage you to pick up the phone, give me a call. I appreciate that when someone takes the time and listens to my concerns, and I hope I can do that for you. Thank you.
Thank you. We're now in District 2, Carol Maurer of 1652 4th Street.
Good evening. My name is Carol Maurer, and I'm currently representing District 2 on the Los Osos Community Advisory Council. My husband and I moved to Los Osos 9 years ago. Last year, I was appointed to fill the vacancy for District 2 on LOCAC. So in some ways, I guess I still consider myself a newcomer to this council. However, I have worked very hard on this council in this last year. But I feel that my work with our community through LOCAC is just beginning because there's so much to do. And I will continue to serve as an active member of LOCAC. It's important to me to be part of the process that has an impact on maintaining the balance between protecting the natural beauty of our area and responding to the concerns of the neighborhood communities and our businesses as Los Osos grows and matures. Even though our council is advisory only to our supervisor, and I do realize that, LOCAC decisions are important. We hear about them later on. They're documented, and they should reflect our community's response to the issues that are brought before it. We go on record, even if the Planning Commission doesn't see the things we do, our words are there, and our decisions have been recorded, and they do come back. I believe it's up to us, the LOCAC members, to do more outreach into the community. We need to inform the public of items appearing on the agenda in a more timely manner. And we need to get more of the public involved in our meetings and make available the decisions that we make during our meetings. I propose that we expand the website to include more information about the meetings and the issues before us and provide links to the county projects that have some bearing on our area. Being on LOCAC is not just a one evening per month job, and I'm willing to give more of myself to this community than that, even though I'm still working about three quarters time as a systems consultant in the healthcare field. There's a lot of work to do, and I hope that it will be divided fairly among us, not just left to a few people. Today I reviewed the LOCAC vision statement once again, and I agree wholeheartedly with it, and will do my best to keep Los Osos a beautiful, peaceful, eclectic town that it is, even as we grow. Only by working together in a respectful manner can we achieve this, but I feel it's within our reach.
Thank you. Next is Lindy Owen of 1935 10th Street, followed by Terry Benko.
Hi, Lindy Owen. I'm probably a 15 and a half year resident of Los Osos, an escapee from Santa Barbara, which many people might think is just the place that anybody would want to live. But I saw Santa Barbara change rapidly in the 25 years that I lived there and visited, and it was no longer to my liking for the last 10 years or so that I lived there. So I felt like coming to Los Osos was a breath of fresh air. It was an incredibly simple community with all the things that I appreciate in a community, rural atmosphere, friendly neighbors, easygoing, and all the potential in the world to become an even better place. And I see Randy Knight's here. I've listened to some of his talks on radio shows and stuff, and I was always very impressed with his vision of how this town could be. And then reading the vision statement several times, I'm just very impressed. Most towns grow and turn into big box store type places and become communities where no one knows each other because they enter through their garage into their homes, spend their little, what time they have of their evening, turn around and head back to work every day, and often never know who lives next door. And that's not the kind of community Los Osos is. And so my feeling, I'm pretty naive to the whole process of the laws and legalities of everything, but I have read much and studied for years sustainable housing, sustainable lifestyles, and living non-toxically. And I think that this town has directions it's going to be leaning, and so my interest in being on LOCAC would be to continue hanging on to that vision statement. I think we could get there. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move on to District 3, Terry Benko of 740 Woodland Drive.
Hello, everybody. I'm Terry Benko from District 3, which is a really cool district to live in because I live right across the street and I can walk here. As a matter of fact, I can see this building from my home, so I know what time the meeting is. I can see all the cars. It's really cool. I've lived here about 15 years. I'm originally from Santa Cruz, and Santa Cruz was a wonderful place to grow up. It's much like it used to be like it is here now. Wonderful people and wonderful open space. Most of you know me from the gym. I'm the owner of Los Osos Fitness. I've owned it for 10 years. When I did the remodel there 4 years ago and moved it over to where the hardware store used to be, I learned a lot about how to do a land use permit, how to work with the county and the state water quality control board. So I have a little experience with that. I have a degree in physical education and a degree in physical therapy, and I was a physical therapist for 20 years. What I currently do now is I manage a staff of 30 over at the gym. I enjoy many activities in the area. I'm a surfer, skateboarder, you name it. I love this area. The outdoors is beautiful. And I spend a lot of time with my family. I have a daughter who is going to Monarch Grove. I'm sorry, she'll kill me for that. The middle school. I have a son who's going to Monarch. And my husband, Brad, is a registered nurse. My personal mission in life has always been to help people physically so that they can do what they want to do with their lives, and I'd like to expand that mission into the community with a community pool, skateboard park that lots of kids use, and paths. I'd love to see the kids be able to, and adults be able to, ride their bikes and walk to places and not have to drive everywhere. The reason I'm running for LOCAC is I want to learn how to make the community work as best as possible. And I want to be of service to the community. I want to help see that the vision that LOCAC has already written come to fruition. If I'm elected, this is what you can count on me for. I'm committed to attending all the meetings. And that's a big thing. I'm committed to listening with an open mind and carefully considering all the issues with more than just one point of view. Because I have a point of view, and you have a point of view, and nobody's point of view is right or wrong. It's just a point of view. And what I'll be looking for is what works and what serves the community the best. So thank you. And District 3, vote for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Next is Josh Fenton of 2315 Bayview Heights, followed by Michael Tutt. Is Josh Fenton here tonight? Then we'll go directly to Michael Tutt.
There's two ways I can do this. I can give you the sugary, gee, I want to be student body president speech, which is the rhetorical crap we've been hearing. Or I can tell you what I really feel like. Right now, I'm ashamed of this community. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of all of us. What happened? 30 years I've been here, 31 years. Why can't we get this thing a little bit more on track? You know, when it gets to the point that Director Freiler feels like he's got to quit, what in the hell have we done to ourselves? This is not an insurmountable task. I recently met with some of people in the audience with the idea that perhaps we could extend an olive branch and try to reunite. For Christ's sakes, there's only 15,000 people here. This is not that hard to do. And I've kind of been an advocate for several years now. I've tried to be middle of the road. And, you know, that sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. And at this point, I just want to say, let's clear the boards. The mediation idea might be a good thing. This is like a divorce. This is, you know, there are no winners. There are no losers. Cut a deal, and let's get back on track. LOCAC is an insignificant part of this whole puzzle. In the big scheme, we got bigger things to worry about. You know, LOCAC needs to get an overhaul. I personally think we've been fairly ineffectual the last couple of years. And I think that there's potential for some some improvement. And, you know, it's impossible in the brief time I have here to effectively communicate that to you, but I think stay tuned and we can all do this together. This is not that big a deal. We can fix this community. We all deserve it. We all live here. We enjoy where we are. You know, let's look at the big picture. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We now move to District 4. William Garfinkel of 150 Monarch Lane, followed by John Perkins.
Hi there. My name is Bill Garfinkel. I reside on Monarch Lane in Los Osos, and I'm a candidate to serve on the Los Osos Citizen Advisory Council, representing the residents of the 4th District, and that's the entire area west of Broderson Avenue. I'm retired from Rockwell Automation, where I had served as a marketing manager for application and manufacture of engineered industrial machine control systems, and I'd been with the company for 33 years. In addition to just enjoying our lovely community, I golf, kayak, and ride my bike around the area. Currently, I'm also vice president of the Sunset Terrace Property Owners Association. Upon my retirement, my wife, Ann, and I decided that we wished to move from the hustle of Los Angeles area to find a more relaxing environment in which to live. After an extensive exploration of the California coast, we discovered Los Osos. All the things we desired were here. The ocean, a mild climate, easy access to the cultural offerings of San Luis Obispo. We decided to settle here. As a bonus, we found wonderful friends and neighbors. When I learned of the election for LOCAC members, I saw it as an opportunity to give a portion of my time and effort back to this community to help maintain its unique qualities and ensure that others who seek this style of life might also find it here. We are a diverse community here in Los Osos, and our residents have many different opinions on how they would like to see the community progress over time and how it should look. Development is inevitable. Our population will grow and changes will continue to take place. There is, however, a pervading sentiment of all the residents that Los Osos is special because of the bay, the ambience of our surroundings, and the small town feeling we foster. This we do not want to change. The Los Osos Community Advisory Council needs to make certain that all of the residents of the community have an opportunity to express their views and concerns on issues of development. LOCAC then needs to reflect those inputs in the feedback it passes on to the county on building permits and for incorporation into the planning and regulations that affect us. I believe I can represent the residents of the District 4 and ensure that you have a voice in LOCAC's recommendations. The vision statement currently adopted by LOCAC is an excellent guide in leading us in making decisions on specific aspects of change. It must, however, by its nature, be a living document, and from time to time, it should be reviewed to account for the changes that have taken place within Los Osos. Let's face it, the very reasons that make our community desirable to us make it attractive to those who would like to come here and settle. We are seeing our property values increase dramatically, resulting in an increasing number of more affluent and generally older residents, and unfortunately, making it difficult for younger families to get a start here. We must strive to maintain our population diversity by encouraging a continuing supply of low and moderate cost housing and rental units. Whoops. Oh, that was fun. Please vote for me. Thank you.
Thank you. John Perkins of 589 Binsgarth, followed by Susan Shaw.
My name is John Perkins, and I'm a 15-year resident of Cuesta by the Sea. We moved up here to Los Osos, my wife and I, and my two kids, primarily for the small-town atmosphere. Where I grew up in a small town on the plains of Colorado, population 300. And when I moved, or when my family moved, it was 297. And I think that's what it still is today. But in that little community, neighbors help neighbors, and friends help friends, and that's what I would like to see in Los Osos. A little bit about my background. In college, I majored in subtropical horticulture. Never used it. Right out of college, I got drafted and started a career in the Army, and I later retired as a sergeant major. I had a second government career. I went to work for the Corps of Engineers, Los Angeles District, when their motto was, on any river, if water flowed in it, damn it. I watched the Corps change from that atmosphere to one of the most environmentally sound organizations in the world. And I think I'd like to bring that balance to LOCAC. So I appreciate your vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Susan Shaw, 363 Henrietta, followed by Rob Scheip.
Hello. My name is Susan Shaw, and I am an artist. I have my Master of Fine Arts degree from CCAC in Oakland, and I am an instructor at Cuesta College. I have lived in several cities. I lived in Costa Mesa, California, when it was a wonderful little town. I used to ride my bike to the beach, and I lived on a quiet Maple Street. Well, now Costa Mesa is a chaos of ugly buildings and noisy highways where I used to live. I lived in New York, New York, where the landlords exploit the artists for a lot of money and let them live in rundown areas in their loss, and when they create a community, they move them out for profit. I lived in Arcata, California, where they have a wonderful community with charming buildings, a beautiful town square, lush lawns, and winding walks in the center of town, where they have many events and festivals for the townspeople. The town has a wonderful ambiance. I was enriched living in Arcata. There is a feeling that anything is possible. It is a well-planned town. In contrast, its neighbor, McKinleyville, is located on a beautiful stretch of the coast. Yet this town was sad, an unappealing eyesore, with no sense of community or town center. I was recently invited to show my work up there at HSU, and McKinleyville had transformed to a cluster of ticky-tacky housing. Dreadful shame. Then I moved to Oakland, where my son could not go out and play because it was too dangerous. I swore when I got my degree, we would travel, and we did. We went around camping all over California until I found a place where my son could go outside and play, a place where we could grow and flourish without fear, a healthy, beautiful place with good schools and nature in abundance. Fate smiled on me, and I found Los Osos, a place where anything is possible. As an artist, I use a strong gift, a gift which we all possess, the power of creative visualization. Creative visualization is a vision of becoming. We use this when we imagine how we want our lives to be. This creative tool we use in our relationships, our daily work, our environment, and in our community. I creatively visualize with love for Los Osos, where the elderly are treated with respect, for they are our link to the past. Oh, dear. The wisdom and knowledge I hear from the lips of the elders in our community has really filled me. Is that 3 minutes? Oh, my gosh. Well, the good part. What I'll bring to this community. I will bring my aesthetic.
Thank you. Rob Scheip of 507 Highland, followed by Keith Swanson. Rob Scheip. Is Rob Scheip here today? Then we'll go directly to Keith Swanson.
I'm Keith Swanson. I feel like Mike Tutt, I kind of came prepared, but I'm just like, you know, I love this place. I got involved with the sewer. First, I kind of thought, yeah, that's a good idea, and then I realized where it was. I said, that's not a good idea. That's how I got actively involved. This is the only open space we got left in the middle of town. Put a sewer plant there, it's not a good idea. I was, got married, moved to San Diego, early 80s. It was a very small town, city. 3 years ago, I moved away from there, got an opportunity to move up to the Central Coast and live in Los Osos. San Diego's not what it used to be. I love San Diego, but not like I used to. I'm committed to this community. I volunteer a lot of my time. I have a passion for it. I have a purpose. I want to preserve this place. To prove my commitment, yesterday was my 25th anniversary with my wife. And I helped someone move a spa while my wife stayed home to have someone there to work on the treadmill. The reason I want to get involved with LOCAC is the last meeting I attended, they listened to the people in the audience. And they made an amendment based on input from the audience. It shocked me. That's what the community is all about. I've been involved in claims and insurance my career. I handle claims for all the Central Coast cities. I deal with land problems, easement problems, disputes, sewer backups. I know the impact. I know where it goes when people aren't happy. And my job is to try and resolve it if I can. I think it's important that every time there's a CSD meeting and it's on the agenda, a report from LOCAC, there's no one there. I will be there because it's important to have some type of feedback at every meeting. I just want to protect this place because I don't want it to happen to be a San Diego or a McKinleyville. This is all we have here. And it's important to me. And I will learn. I'm a fast learner. I'm dedicated. Thank you.
Thank you. That completes a list of our candidates. And I'd like, yeah. I want to encourage everybody to vote on Saturday, the 1st of May, or the 8th of May at the fire station, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And remember, you get two votes. You're electing two people in each district. Alan, I turn it back to you.
Was on that board. And it was Ray Bracken. Mm-hmm. So 12 years is really not all that long when you take a look at Ray Bracken and what he's done. And I want to thank Ray for all those years of service. I'd just like to make a quick personal comment, which I know some of it won't be popular, but that's normal for me. When I moved here, there were 2,900 people, and today, Los Osos is better today than it was then. And I have to qualify that. That's from the perspective of a father. When my oldest daughter, all three of my daughters were born here. When my oldest daughter was born here, there was nothing for them to do, for her to do. And today, my youngest daughter, who happened to be 8 years younger than my oldest daughter, she had soccer, she had softball, she had a lot of things. So I want to thank all you people for moving here and making it better for my family. And that's the perspective I come from. Now, the other thing I've learned on LOCAC, and having been born down in Southern California and seen what happened there, the main thing I've learned is that all of us are who created the problems that we're complaining about. It's not the people who are going to be here next month or the month after. When we're sitting in a line of traffic, the traffic is us. And it's become frustrating for me anyway, because I finally figured out you can't solve problems that nobody thinks that they're part of the problem. And that's what a community has really got to do. We all have to admit that we are what happened to Los Osos to this point, and we are what happened to those communities that we came from before. And until we do that, we're not going to be able to solve the problems we have here in Los Osos and make the future brighter. That's all I had to say. Thanks.
Okay. Stan, that's it for part two of the regular agenda. We have some other things to say when we get to joint matters later.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, we'll move to item number three, the LOCSD matters, and we'll start out with subpart A, the wastewater project construction. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. As most of the folks in this room know, the California Coastal Commission on April 15th determined that they would hold a de novo hearing on the wastewater treatment facility. That decision will result in a hearing either late this year or early next year in regard to the coastal development permit and the three appeals on that permit. The district cannot open bids or start construction as a result of that action. So the item that's captioned here, construction, is actually on hold. The soonest that is to provide the information that the commission requested so that the hearing on the appeals can be held once that information is prepared. Part of that information we'll be talking about under joint matters. It's the Habitat Conservation Plan, but suffice it to say that many of the programs that the district had hoped to implement have been deferred until we can resolve the question of what exact project will be built and how it's going to be funded. Move on to toilet retrofit.
Well, why don't we, it might be wise to see if we have any board or council comment. Do we have any board or council comment on subpart A? No. Yeah, why don't we then move on and we'll take public comment at the end of these four items.
One of the programs that has been retooled is the toilet retrofit program. Part of the problem that we're experiencing is a cash flow problem. We had expected that the state would refund the monies that the district had invested on design and planning for the project, and since we are not sure that we will preserve the loan, in effect, I think the odds are that we will lose the state revolving fund loan, then that money will no longer be available to pay for programs, including the toilet retrofit program. What the board has directed staff to do is to work with the state. Earlier this year, we were fortunate enough to compete and succeed in getting a $500,000 grant from the State Department of Water Resources for toilet retrofit. We have formally requested Department of Water Resources to allow us to convert that grant into a rebate program instead of an installation program, and we are awaiting the response from the Department of Water Resources. We will bring that information back to the district board as soon as we know the answer from DWR.
Any board or council comment on item 3B? Please, Mr. Buell, 3C.
And if I might, Mr. President, I'd like to recognize Brian Reynolds, who is our county librarian. This is sort of a tag team, if we can do it that way, and perhaps I can invite Mr. Reynolds to come to the podium here. I think in order of sequence, it might be best for Brian to explain a concept that the county library system is exploring with Sunnyside School, and when he's done, I'd like to talk about the possibility of the district pursuing an option that that would create for us.
Good evening, members of LOCAC and board and members of the audience. Brian Reynolds, library director for the county. As everybody probably knows, we have been trying to expand the library for a long time, and it's caught up in larger issues such as the protected snail and so forth. And at the same time, we're always thinking about an alternative site while we were doing construction. And so a few months ago, local to yours, and so somehow or other, we became aware that the district staff might be interested in moving into our vacated area in the library for office space. At least the idea was that it would be somewhat of a smooth transition. We might go to Sunnyside if that worked out. The district might move into our vacated space. And we both would be for the in good and better shape of serving the community because of that. And also, we're trying to negotiate a situation that was cash neutral because, like everybody else, or at least other governmental entities, the library is in financial trouble as well. So we were hoping that this could be an improvement in service to the community at no net cost to the community. And so right now, just to summarize, county property management is working on the one hand with Mr. Edwards and on the other hand with the district to try and negotiate some terms that would be mutually agreeable. And that's it's begun. It's not finished. I would say we're maybe a third or half of the way through that. But if all the ducks line up, there could be some good news for library customers and possibly for the district staff and those whom they serve. So that's my presentation.
Thank you. And if I might... this is a concept that has not gone to the district board. I have had now two conversations with general services representatives from the county, and maybe Brian and I have talked several more times, but I need to get a better understanding of what the options are before I can finalize this. I have a commitment from general services that they will provide me that information. What would be desirable from the district's perspective is to be able to move into the old library in a cost-effective manner, in a timely manner. Our current lease at 2122 9th Street expires in April of 2005. So there would need to be some overlap and some tenant improvements at the existing facility before we could move in. And I believe, Brian, you're still in the process of negotiating with the master leaseholder at Sunnyside. So
that's correct.
It's like a domino effect. But hopefully we can bring a concept to the board and the community either late this spring or early this summer.
Yes, any board or council comment? Yes. Mr. Freiberg.
Brian, I'm wondering, with the move, is the benefit primarily that the Sunnyside site is larger than the existing site? Is that the primary benefit? Or?
It's larger by, not a lot, I'm sorry to say, about 500 square feet, but the layout is probably more open and probably better for special activities, whether it's behind-the-scenes work or story times, possibly a computer lab. I think the layout, the size is a little better, and the layout is a little more friendly to the people that would use the building.
And I'd be glad to hear that then budget is not a concern. You guys have the budget to be able to make the move. And what about
I would be hoping that the cost of moving would be minimal, and I have been given instructions that if we do this, it would have to be revenue or cost neutral. So there would we need to work out a way where if it was going to fly, I mean, the intent would be that it would be temporary. And when other things settle out, such as the wastewater treatment facility going forward, the snail being dealt with and so forth, because we can't really expand on site until then. I think the understanding is that if we were on the school site, we wouldn't be faced with some of those things because there would be fewer people using it than, say, when the school, the kids and the teachers were there. But there's also the possibility that, well, there's a possibility we'd come back to the original site and demolish the building and build a bigger one, as is our, has been our plan for several years. There's also a possibility that, at least if you, you know, Mr. Edwards is right in terms of predicting the future, that the school board might decide at the end of his lease to make a longer-term lease with him, or even possibly that the county might enter into separate negotiations with the school district to have some permanent land on the school site. So that's all very speculative, but those are some of the things that are on my mind.
Okay, because I think the new LOCAC should definitely take a look at this, because many years ago, in my mind, one of the biggest land use mistakes we made in this town, I think George and Gwen and Ray remember, was when the post office moved across the street. It used before the shopping center was built, the post office was right near the market in the little shopping center that's there now. And that post office was a real... that place was like a community gathering center. And a library can work the same way. And so it's real important that we put those items in our community that are important to us in areas where they can act to gather the community together. And I think the library is one of those. So any move is going to have to really be thought through as the long-term implications.
Makes sense.
Any additional questions, comments?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, wait just a second, Lenny. We're going to do the other and then take public comment. Mr. Buell, is there any other?
Be happy to answer questions, but I don't have any other presentation.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Buell, from the council or the board? Okay, at this time, I'll open it to public comment for everything on item three.
My name is Steve Sawyer. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I actually had some comments on item two. We skipped right over public comment for that one. Can we go back to that?
Well, I had to let Alan Minker handle
that's
item
fine.
Two.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a problem. I'm wondering if you can help me today. Your election is only going to allow people to vote if they have a driver's license, a California ID card, or a voter registration card that proves what district that they live in. My driver's license and my voter registration card have my P.O. box on it. What do I do? Can I bring a utility bill? Can I bring some other form of identification along with my driver's license proving who I am that will prove that I live in District 4, a vote.
So you will have trouble voting this time, and we're taking notes, and we'll come to a summary position after the election and make recommendations for how to improve it for next time.
I think that's just going to exclude a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have situations like that. I know of one of the candidates that won't be able to vote for himself because of that.
Okay. The bylaws say, and I'm looking at Article 5C, Section C5, each voter shall be asked to verify his or her full-time residence address with either a driver's license or a voter registration card. Okay. I think we need to discuss this as a council at this point, because the starting point, it seems to me, for any discussion about an election is
to adopt such measures as to afford everyone who's qualified to vote and not be putting up roadblocks for people to vote who are qualified to vote. So, Dick, you're going to be there at the fire department, and Dawn, you're going to be there also. Do you have some thoughts on this, Dawn?
It seems to me a utility bill of some sort would verify the residents of, you know, here in Los Osos. It seems to me that that would verify it. Also, if a person truly has a problem, they could probably go down to the county clerk recorder's office and gain some verification of their residence because through their voter registration. I don't know.
Now, let's say, let's try to anticipate problems in advance. Let's say somebody comes to vote and you're really not, there for whatever reason, you're not sure that they live in that district or you're just not sure about something. What's your procedure going to be, Dick? Are you going to have them fill out a ballot and then place that ballot in a, as they do sometimes with regular elections, in a question ballot envelope, and then bring it before the entire council at the next meeting and examine all of the evidence, let the voter come, and then make a determination as to whether that person should be allowed to have his or her vote counted?
Yes, to verify the election, we have to keep all the ballots segregated by district and all the challenged or unqualified ballots separated and all the sign-up lists separated. And we present all this evidence to the chairman of the council as evidence of the election. And at that point, there can be challenges or resolutions or whatever.
So, Steve, the answer is everybody, we want everybody to vote and bring every, if you don't have a driver's license or voter registration card that has your street address, bring whatever other information that you have. Your vote will be filled out and your vote will be, if it's questioned, it'll be questioned in the open where you and every other person will have an opportunity to come and explain that you really do live and you really are qualified in the area in which you want to vote and have cast a vote.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Yeah, go ahead.
In this, and I don't think that it was never the intention of the bylaws to exclude anyone. It might have been an oversight, and Steve, I think that you bring up an excellent point because there are a lot of people that that have a P.O. box. Shoot, LOCAC couldn't vote because we have a P.O. box. So I think a little flexibility. I think we're looking for intent here, and I don't think that there's a purposeful intent to defraud if somebody comes up with a utility bill with their name on it showing that they live at a particular address.
And you want me to respond to that,
huh? Would you? Some of your last bit of sage advice?
Well, there certainly was no intent to keep anyone from having the ability to vote. I think the intent was to try and establish what district they were in and that they were legitimate residents of Los Osos. I'm not, quite frankly, convinced that showing a utility bill is necessarily any answer to that, because I can get a utility bill from another property I own completely out of upstate, and it doesn't tell me that I'm a resident wherever I get my utilities. So I'm not sure that's an answer, but maybe we could ask for a copy of their, you know, federal 1040 tax return or something like that. Whatever I think is reasonably legitimate in the eyes of the voting administration committee, I would think would be acceptable.
You're going to leave it up to us right there on the spot?
No. Well, you have somebody fill out a ballot. Mm-hmm. You have them fill out a ballot while they're there, and you put it in a question ballot envelope so that they vote. If you determine later that they didn't live in that area or they're disqualified for some reason, then that vote doesn't count.
You can get a card from the DMV that shows your street address and still carry your regular license. If you have time to go to the DMV before we vote in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Alan, do you want to keep item two, the public comment, open? Mr. Sawyer had a good point in terms of...
Yes, because... Yeah,
so,
sure.
Why don't this will be continue to be item two, in terms of the, yeah, item two. And so we will go to item three after this.
I want to speak to item two. Tom Salmon, Baywood Park. First of all, I want to personally thank Bob for standing up for the community and asking the tough questions and looking at the tough issues. I know it's been difficult. You and I don't always agree. But I know at the end of the day, we can come to a conclusion. And I just want to personally thank you from me to you. Thank you for all the things that you've done. You've represented the community well. Second of all, I want to thank Mike for standing up, throwing the paper down, and discussing, let's get rid of the rhetoric. It's a nice, fresh start. Maybe after this meeting tonight and this election this Saturday, this community can somehow come together. Week before last, we had a CSD meeting where a couple of the community directors stated that whatever the decision was of the Coastal Commission, this community needs to get back together. It isn't a really tough decision, Mike. You and I know that. We can figure this thing out. We can put all this behind us, and we continue on. With the new election with LOCAT, some advisors that are going to do the right thing, this all works out. I just really want to come up and say thanks to Bob, and thanks, Mike.
Contracts at Lockheed for many years. First, the wastewater project. I think that this is a very poor place to put it. I think moving the library is a poor thing because many of us donated to have that library there. And some of us are still paying for Monarch School, and then they shut this one down. And another thing that I wanted to mention, that the prevailing wind comes out of the northwest. And it's going to be wonderful for our downtown when we have these blackouts that Los Osos is well known for. And I have a little problem, and I'm sorry I'm shaken. I'm not shaken because I'm shy, because I am not shy. And anyway, I think this toilet reef retrofit should be patterned after Morro Bay. The contractors needed to have about a dozen retrofits before they got a permit. So they got their plumbers and themselves and went around and changed the toilets themselves. And once they had their dozen retrofits, they got to build. Now, I know that probably Bob knows that, and Mike knows that, and some of the rest of you. But the plumbers paid for it and the contractors in order to build. And we didn't pay for it out of our pocket. And when I say we, I had a place in both places, Morro Bay and over here. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say is don't get rid of our library. I paid for bricks in this building not to have a sewer next door to it. And I don't want that prevailing wind coming by car locks when I want to go down there and get a cookie. So anyway, that's my feeling. And I know the CSD works hard, and I know you people work hard. And you've seen me up here at LOCAC. But no, none of these, other than one time, have I ever gotten up and spoke.
Boy, is that a hard act to follow. My name is June Ryder, resident of Los Osos, and I have a crazy, off-the-wall suggestion to solve this thing on voting, because I suddenly realized after Steve spoke, I can't vote either. If you have a driver's license, you're driving a car, correct? If you're driving a car, you are required by the state of California to carry insurance on that car. Well, my insurance bill comes to my post office box, but on my insurance policy, it states where the car is garaged. And
you will be given your ballot, and
allowed to vote. And then if there is any question at all, that will be addressed, as Alan said. So we want people to come to vote. We encourage you to do so. Thank you.
While Vivian is standing, could I just ask, in addition to Dick Parker, everybody who served on the election committee, everybody who was a volunteer, stand up. Vivian, Teresa, and Dick, thanks very much. I know, and Lindy, and Al and Julie before they became candidates. It was a lot of work, and we thank all of you for the work you put in. Did I miss somebody?
Lindy.
James T. Cash, Los Osos. I was looking forward to participating, but I also have P.O. Box on my driver's license. I appreciate the comments by Ms. Wright and Mr. Payne as far as how we can maybe solve that, something to maybe think about for the next election. If I bring up an additional problem, I'll be out of town both Saturdays. I was wondering if there's some way we can fix that next time. I was really looking forward to participating. Thank you.
Well, the reason it was made two Saturdays is because somebody, last time it was one Saturday, and somebody says, I'm going to be out of town. So they said, okay, we'll make it two Saturdays.
Maybe make it on a weeknight, too, or something. You know, one weeknight from 7 to 10 or something like that. I don't know what kind of turnout you get for this kind of election, but I appreciate it further consideration. Thank you.
My name's Al Barrell, and I just want to thank Alan for all the good work you're doing. I think this whole process opened up. I think a lot of people came in, and you're welcoming them, and you're going to have a lot of great thoughts, great people, and I think LOCAC's on the way to becoming a real winner of a group. I really do. So congratulations to you all for that. And I would like to say about Mr. Carner's suggestion about, I don't know how you feel about the utility bills, but I've got some whoppers. I got some great big water bills, and I would be happy to I'd be happy to use that as my identity. And I'd also like to thank Mrs. Sussoff. You know, she's been around, like she said, since 1960. And, you know, she may not be in the best of health, but she got up there and made a great statement. She was very clear, and I do appreciate that. And I want to thank her.
Hello. I'd like to respond to Al and also second the congratulations that he's given to Alan. Alan is going off our board, our council, and he has done a magnificent job of keeping this council going throughout these past 2 years, and it would not be where it is today without Alan, and I just very, very, very sorry to see him leaving. Thank you.
Julie Tacker. Each one of you has taught me something. Not all things I liked, but I appreciate your efforts, and I really do appreciate the learning experience that you've given me. Another announcement that was made was the resignation of Director Freiler. That saddens me. Frank Freiler was the one director that I thought I could talk to, and we sparred, and I learned a lot from him too, and I'm sorry that he felt pressure, and I hope he never felt it from me. I think that's all I'll say about those things. Thank you.
Sylvia Miller from Cuesta by the Sea. And I don't want to see any of the CSD board leave, and I feel bad about Freiler leaving. And I see no sense in the library being moved. My vote.
Do we still have comments on item two, Gwen?
Yes, it is.
Fine. I think we're still having item two. I know we've had some comments on item three. So, no, please.
It's item two.
Good.
E.
That's fine. I just want to know where the comments are, please. I'm sorry to take over, Alan.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. And I attended meetings when many of you weren't even here, except for Bob, and Terry wasn't here either. Al said something about people attending and being willing to attend. I appreciate Mr. Menker's attending many meetings that I have attended. I have not spoken, but I have seen him there, and I'm sure he has seen my husband and I. He has been very diligent in representing this community, whether it be on the Diablo Canyon project or whether it be in some other vein of development that affects this community. It's nice to have people who sit on a board and are as diligent in representing the community as Mr. Menker has been. There have been other chairpersons who have done the same, but it has been a long time coming around to get a group of people who are as dedicated to protecting this community as we have and need to continue to have. Gary Carner, Bob Semason, Randy Knight, I can go on and on. For those who are not here now sitting on this at this table, but have put in long, hard, diligent hours to try and develop this community in a responsible way that all of at Sunnyside School is all we can afford at this time. But we do need a library that is accessible to everyone in this community. Thank you.
Mr. Perkins, you have a comment on item two?
Two is the election, is it not, Stead?
Yes.
Yeah, John Perkins, Los Osos. I know it's too late for this year, but Morro Bay just had an election was turned down when they decided to make Morro Bay into districts. Los Osos is one community. We're not four communities. We don't need four districts. We ought to have our members elected at large, like the community of Morro Bay. Too late for this year, but next year maybe we can change the election and have our elections at large. That eliminates anybody's worry about driver's licenses. All he's got to have is some identification to say he lives in Los Osos. And that's simple. Thank you.
Any additional comments on item two? Okay, let's move on to public comment on item three.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I wanted to speak on the library. I think thinking of it as a temporary move is a great idea. I still hope that the library can come back to its other location, though, and I was just sort of thinking, why couldn't it go 38 feet tall? I mean, it's same footprint, but I did hear some of the reasons why. One of my concerns about the CSD moving in is will it be a comparable rent charge for the space, or would it be moving into a lot higher? I suppose we would hear that as you get further along in the negotiations, but I feel that maybe the CSD could use a little space, but I'm not sure if it's worth moving. You've got your door etched and everything, so might be worth just hanging in there for a while till we see where things go financially, et cetera, for the community. So, and if we do move the library, I was going to suggest that we get a volunteer day to block off traffic and just get people to come help move books across the way. It'd be pretty close. The one problem with Sunnyside is I see that seniors might have a hard time getting up to the school because the parking is down below, but the upper parking lot might be an accessible way for them to get into it. So I think it would make a great community area to complement this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Beal, do you have any comment on the cost questions other than the fact that you're going to bring it back to the board when you go through the negotiations?
Yes, Mr. President. Our current office space is about 2,000 square feet, and the library is 4,000 square feet. So there's a substantial area differentiation. One of the things that staff will present to the board is whether or not the board wants to hold meetings, some of your meetings, at the library site.
Thank you. Next.
Rachel Rosenthal, Sosos. I have a lot of questions about the library when Section 7, thanks for issues and all that. But one of the shocking things to me was that they didn't look at, before designing the second library, it was quite a while before they realized they had to tear it down because of, I think, ADA, asbestos, and seismic requirements. And I really felt like an idiot because I sat there for the whole time going, why are they talking about designing it? It hasn't been audited for regulatory review. And so I just hope that there is a planning, building design professional helping with evaluation prior to doing anything at the assessment level with these things and looking at a change of occupancy, seismic requirements, and ADA before any of this goes on. I'm really, the whole process shocks me so much that I've just chilled and just, I mean, I just go, well, this happens, and I have so much more confidence as a professional because I used to be afraid that I wasn't smart enough or good enough or know anything. I can't believe I'm saying this. I've been, this is like a confessional up here or something. We've been here a long time. At any rate, that was what, that was back to the point on that one. And then, so that was what about this proposal, that was the point, to watch it and be conservative and look ahead a little bit and go through a review on it. And also about our offices, I just, whatever you all decide on this one, I think we need a little CSD library, and I hope you'll look at that as a need.
Thank you. Mr. Beal, do you have any comment on the process that Rachel was referring to?
Mr. President, we're still early in the process. All of the steps that Rachel described need to be done.
Thank you, Mr. Beal.
Hello, I'm Susan Shaw again, and I agree with Rachel and Lindy about the library. I'm just afraid, I like going to the library and having all the people there. I never feel crowded, and I know where everything is, but I see that the librarians do feel crowded. I see that. But I'm afraid if we start shifting things around, we might not get that new beautiful library in that place, and I don't want to see things slip sliding away, so thanks.
Good evening. Tom Salmon, Baywood Park again. I'm here to talk about the wastewater project construction. If we don't need a CSD, because if we don't have the sewer plant for them to do, basically they're going to be in charge of trash and the water. And I hate to see us fund $250,000 project or the CSD if the CSD is no longer in tune. So I'd like us not to sign a contract with Jeff Edwards for long term, and I'd like to see us give
the wastewater project back to the county. And I would like to see us disband the CSD because there'd be no more need for it. And we could save the community a lot of money. Thank you.
Next.
Julie Tacker. I love the diversity of this community. I very much dislike the current CSD office. I spend some time there, and it's quite crowded. So I would like to see you have a better facility that was more user-friendly and a parking lot. I'm sure you guys probably have fender benders in that parking lot. The library. I didn't understand, I still don't understand, why a roughly 20-year-old building would have to come down. That's a waste of our resources. And I understand that the library needs to expand. The school has a library. It's sitting empty. Now, concerned citizens of Los Osos had some interest in Sunnyside, hoping to do what Jeff Edwards is also attempting to do. He had a, let's say, a longer neck to stick out. A deeper pocket, that's fair. The money that goes, the rent to Sunnyside, goes into the general fund at the school district, which then in turn educates, currently my children are attending San Luis Obispo County schools, but that's how the money works. So I like that Mr. Edwards is taking care of that. I don't know that a nonprofit could have been able to step up to that big of a plate. With the library needing to expand, it simply just makes sense that there's a space and then the shifting of money or the transfer from pocket to pocket, these are our dollars. These are our tax dollars at the CSD office that then would go into the county's pocket and then over into Jeff Edwards' pocket, which actually kind of goes back into the kids' pocket. So I think it's a good thing. It sounds like it's a temporary thing. If it was a long-term thing, I think we all need to be part of that discussion, and that's a much bigger issue. There's a little hitch in my pockets. I wish the CSD office was also at Sunnyside. The school belongs to the community, and I see that having it empty doesn't serve anybody.
Right to do that.
Which item on number three?
I'm leading up to that. But first I wanted to clarify some comments. The president has assured me that he will reprimand me if I'm inappropriate, which he just did. He also assured me I am not Grace Kelly. Now, there will be many times to be commenting on the sewer and the project and everything like that. I've watched this board for 6 years. I'm sure they will make very good decisions, and I like the idea of moving the library to the school. I think we need extra space. The library is one of my favorite places in the whole wide world, and I think we need to have that for the community, the children, as well as the other people who love to read. I'm an avid reader myself. Anything for the library sounds great for me.
Thank you. Next.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lisa Schicker. Just a quick comment and observation on two out of the three items on the Los Osos CSD, this number three agenda, involve land use decisions. And I would just encourage, it's more, again, of this building, the community. There's a lot of people who could participate in land use decisions that involve CSD business as well, and maybe more participation by LOCAC in some of these decisions early on and throughout the process might assist us. And I know Bob and Gary were involved early on and have been very steady volunteers, but maybe more more workshops with the community, technical people, and all of us together. Because, as Rachel said, too, land use professionals also need to be involved in these decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments on item 3? Okay, then item 4, joint matters.
Mr. President, I'd ask Alan or anybody on LOCAC to speak to 4A.
Growth cap ordinance, a maximum growth rate ordinance for Los Osos has been something the advisory council has been considering and working on and discussing, and we actually voted unanimously in favor of a maximum growth ordinance to present to the Board of Supervisors for their consideration. We were hoping to have language to review and pass on. Bob Simonson has been our chairman on this issue, and I just ask you, Bob, to say what you said last Thursday about this and anything else you want to.
Okay. Well, I met with county staff, and after the Coastal Commission hearing, they put a stop on it, mainly because their language was going to be dealing directly with the start of the sewer, because that's actually when it has to be implemented. So they're confused, let's put it that way, as to where it's going to go in the short term. In the long term, we will eventually end up with one. I imagine the new LOCAC body will also take a look at it and be part of that decision at the time. But right now, it's stalled until...
I'm going to be very assertive in moving this forward, but it does suggest that we won't have a public review draft of the HCP until September of this year. So it's... it is a difficult process. I've committed in the past to bringing that to LOCAC when it is available, and I will continue to make that commitment.
Do we have any Board of Council comments? Yes, Ms. Maurer.
I have a question. I don't see a date that when this was prepared on here. Could you please tell us when it was prepared so I could write it in?
Yes, certainly. This should be dated March of 2004.
Thank you.
And I apologize. There's a proposal that's about 60 pages thick that I didn't feel it needed to be copied.
Yeah. Mr. Simonson.
This is frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, on LOCAC, we asked them to get started on this 94 or something. I guess I just hope that we'll see a public draft before some of the new members are in their 12th year of being on LOCAC.
Mr. Kerner, do you have any? You want to embellish those comments
actually,
at all?
Bob beat me to it, but the question, I guess, is what in the hell is taking so damn long? Because we were supposed to have a review draft in February, and somebody's dragging their feet.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Mr. Buell, do you have any comment on that?
We have an administrative draft of a document that we are not permitted to release to anyone.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe you should comment also on the process and the...
This
has been somewhat torturous, but we do have a person in the room to thank for moving it along and getting everybody at the table, which has been very important and very helpful, namely our supervisor, that has moved the process along.
I concur with that, and I also want to thank Supervisor Bianchi. Having said that, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is adamant that that we cannot release any draft until... they believe that it will satisfy their review requirements, which are pretty stringent. The latest iteration we finally got feedback on that they want substantial embellishments on the biology components, and we took that advice to the district board. There were some legal issues and some financial issues that had to be resolved, and we have finally resolved those. I think Shirley will be glad to know that the county's share of the cost of...
Should consider some sort of response to what Bob's just shared with us, that the county's put this on hold. It seems to me that the two are linked together, and we kind of need the growth cap. It's related to the capacity, and there's just something troubling in that they're putting it on hold.
Well, they were, like many people, they were taken aback with what Coastal Commission did. But like I said, and when I say they've put it on hold, it's not going to be long term. They need to see what direction the project's going to go, because their specific language was actually going to be connected to the start date for the sewer. They've got the preliminary language, you know, in the body of it written out, but they need to get down to the specifics, and they just can't do that until the sewer, till they know they at least have a target date. See, because some of the issues they're looking at is there's a certain number of permits right now that are pending that are in the allocation system, and they're looking at whether or not they'll go ahead and just let all of those go in, even though it's about, right now it's about 14 over what our growth cap basically is, the number of permits that would be issued under the growth cap we've recommended. So, but they really can't do much until they know what direction the sewer's going, because the whole thing is tied, and then they're going to be able, what they're going to do is they're going to calculate out how many per year, how many will be at, you know, like prorating it for that portion of the year that it gets started. But now they don't even know when it's going to, you know, when they'll be able to get it started. So, but they're definitely willing to talk to us about it still. It's just they're kind of waiting to see what direction we're going to go.
Any other board or council comment on questions on this item? Other? Do you have another? 4C?
No, sir, I have no other.
Okay. Any further board or council comments on any item under 4 before we open a public comment? Gary.
LOCAC needs an agenda for our next meeting. And it just occurs to me that I'm the only one left on the executive. Depending on the election, Gary might be able to help me out. And I would like to resign as secretary, and I'm offering my services as treasurer, taking over for Ray.
And then the first item on the agenda of the new council is to elect their own officers. That could happen at the same night.
So,
everybody should show up for LOCAC, and everybody in the community should be here anyway, right? So, there's no question there.
Well, the question is, will you be informing the candidates after May 8th, who won?
We'll be informing candidates and the press at the end of the election day on May 8th.
Okay. So people will know by that time.
So they'll know by then, yeah.
Yeah.
How about if I put out an agenda based on what we just discussed? We're going to be discussing the results of the election. The new board members will meet for the first time.
Right, right. Well, you know, you all will choose a chairman, and that will get done the fourth Thursday in May. But, you know, between now and that time, you certainly have ideas and nominations to make at that time.
Who becomes the chairperson for the May?
That the first item of business is to select the chairman, and then the chairman presides over the May meeting.
Just for the record, I will not be there for the May meeting. I haven't missed a LOCAC meeting, but that happens to be one that I can't get out. I won't be there.
Okay,
so just
fair
for the
enough.
Record.
In that case, I will publish an agenda of what we just discussed and put it out as I do every month,
right,
as my last duty as secretary. And
right,
I'll work with Ray on taking over the treasurer, and we'll decide whether that's permanent or not.
Right.
27th at 7.
Yeah, and you could confer with Ray, with Gary, with you're going to be
on the board again.
But you'll be available to talk to in May. Are you going to?
I'll be available until the 23rd.
Okay. So you can set the agenda based on that, and I gave you the key tonight to the mailbox, so you're picking up the LOCAC mail from now on, and so you'll know everything that's by way of a county planning department referral.
Very good.
Any other comments? Public comment on item 4?
This is going to come as a little shock to you, but I have some issues with the growth cap. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that own land and that have certain rights to develop their land. And I don't know if the growth cap, and I may be very unpopular with this, and maybe on the developer side of the fence, because I'm an affordable housing advocate. And it's been pointed out to me by many architects and developers that the affordable housing is going to come from the larger developments. So he's lined up 1700 in the prohibition zone, and doesn't look like, I don't see anybody saying, hey, I'm going to include affordable housing into my project. And unless, of course, the county can do what they did in Avila and say, okay, you've got to have a 20% inclusionary housing, which cannot be mitigated with an inclusionary fee. I don't think the issues have been looked at and worked out yet. And I think we should all look at them. And I think we should look at the outcome of what you want. I mean, a growth cap sounds very good from a habitat point of view. You know, you're going to only have so much impact here. But is there anybody that can enlighten me on this? Maybe Bob could talk about it a little bit. Maybe Gary could talk about it a little bit. I think there's some discussion here that needs to be done before you decide on that. Thank you.
Mr. Simonson.
The countywide growth management ordinance has affordable housing component that overrides any local one. So affordable housing isn't included in that. I mean, if someone wants to do an affordable housing project, they can come in and do it. And, you know, I should clarify, it's a growth rate ordinance. It's not a growth cap, because we're not putting a cap on anything. We're just determining a rate.
The rate of growth is 3.5% in the county.
2.2. I mean, what is it now? 2.3.
2.3.
Yeah, 2.3, sorry.
But you only have so much ability to sewer and water people.
This is not meant to be a series of dialogues. Right. We do have a Brown Act problem.
Anyway, what we did,
Bob, let me, before you move on, Al,
I'll just shut up. Okay.
No. Al, if you have some other questions right now, I'll have Bob answer them all so we don't get into this dialogue back and forth.
Go ahead,
Bob. Do you have
Bob.
Some more? Okay. Bob.
Okay. So there's a component of the countywide ordinance that takes in account affordable housing. And then what we did on LOCAC, because a large component of affordable housing in this community is going to be multifamily, so we took the multifamily out of that and let it stay in the county so that we can maximize the amount of multifamily every year that would be built in this community.
Any further public comment? Okay, moving on to item 5, next steps, Mr. Buell.
Our tradition is to have two meetings a year. Last year, we picked this date and September 30 as the two meeting dates for 2004. And as has been the tradition, the district hosts the first session.
We actually have another chance here soon. Any public comment on item 5? Can you bring it back? CSD director comments? Do we have any? I have none. LOCAC member comments? Mr. Freiberg.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say, and as what Carol said earlier, I do want to publicly just say that Alan is a terrific human being and has been a terrific leader, and we're not a good old boys network. I mean it from my heart, and I mean it sincerely, and I think that Alan has navigated LOCAC in a different direction that certainly I hope to be a part of in the future, but I do want to publicly, and I do also want to say that I almost put him in a headlock to try to get him to run, but he just won't. But anyway, thank you for everything that you've done, and you've just been really great, and I'll never forget working with you.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Oh, Stan. Stan.
We have another comment?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I couldn't go without making a final comment also. Just want to say that I've been proud to be associated with LOCAC these past 8 years. And the past couple of years, the people that have sat here are probably a little more known than some of the others. But there have been many people throughout the years that we've all sat with and made some good decisions for the community. LOCAC is a little different than the CSD, the Community Services District Governance Board of Directors meetings. We're obviously a lot more informal. Lots of details to work out along the way as LOCAC has grown and changed, which the community should understand that LOCAC is, of course, a less formal entity, and it is a place where more dialogue has taken place over the years, which is to say, not to say that as important decisions are made on both sides of the fence here. I hope that the community understands that anybody who sits at a table in this community really needs your support as the public. We need you to come out and be part of the process, not only at LOCAC, but every committee meeting, every board meeting. Be a positive force for change and for positive, intelligent dialogue, and solutions and problems can be solved. And the public does not quite understand that as this wonderful microphone at home, you are hearing my voice so clearly. Right now in the hall, though, I hear murmuring and I hear disturbance in the back of the hall that the public doesn't hear. And that's not comfortable. I I urge the public to come to these meetings and find out why we see on the screen so much disturbance, what you see at home, and why that occurs. If everybody would come out to a committee meeting, a council meeting, a board meeting.
Stand adjourned.